Amen. Hey, before you sit down, don't we just want to praise God for how awesome He is today? He is alive. He is alive today. And He is risen. He is risen. You can have a seat. Hey, it's Easter time. Hey, it's Easter time. This is the most important day for us as Christians as we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and that the death and grave could not hold Him. And then 3 days later from Friday, Jesus Christ rose from the dead to show that we can be saved today and that we have life today and new beginnings today and a freedom today. Hey, listen, I'm pretty excited today, all right? I'm pretty pumped. We are so glad you are here with us at Life Community Church. Our first ever LCC praise choir today. And I'm pretty sure that there's still smoke coming off of here because the glory of God burnt down up here, man. It was awesome and just amazing how God did a great work. I want you this morning to take out your program, and in your program, you're going to find a couple of things. You're going to find your sermon notes. So go ahead and get that. And you're also going to find a connection card. We would like for every single person to fill this out. There's ink pens on the end, and you're going to need an ink pen for your sermon notes, so pass an ink pen around. But make sure everybody fills that out today as the sermon goes on. You know, one of the traditional greetings for Easter is a traditional greeting. It's a message that you give on Easter where you say, "He is risen." And the reply to that, the traditional ancient reply that they did in the early church was, "He is risen indeed." So somebody would say, "He is risen." And the reply to that would be, "He is risen indeed." It's a good message. So let's try that this morning. I'm going to lead out by saying, "He is risen." And then you all as a church will reply with the traditional greeting. Are you ready? "He is risen." That's our message today. A wonderful message that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, and that indeed He is alive today. I like a good message. I enjoy good messages. I enjoy receiving good messages and hearing good messages. I like hearing things like this. I like hearing good messages like this. When my wife got pregnant for the very first time and little Gracie was born, and she gave me that message and she said, "Kenny, we're going to have a baby." First, I almost passed out, but after that, I woohooed, and I said, "This is amazing. This is great." It was a good message. My little Gracie, my six-year-old, is learning how to write, and she'll sneak into my office, and she'll get a piece of paper, and she'll write these messages on all kinds of stuff on a piece of paper, and she finds tape, and she tapes it around. If you go by my office now in the ministry center, there's a sign that hangs up, and if you can decipher it in Gracie language, it says, "Daddy Rager's office, candy inside." So listen, that's a good message for you if you ever need to come by and visit me at the office. Apparently, Gracie is struck by the fact that there's candy in my office, so that's a good message. This month is my birthday. So I got a really, really good message from Texas Roadhouse that said I'm going to be receiving a free birthday cactus blossom. And that is a good message. And you like getting those kind of messages. You know, you're going to get a free cactus blossom. Those are good messages. But life is not always filled with good messages. Can I get an amen or an oh me this morning on that? They're not always filled with good messages. Let me tell you some bad messages that I've received before. "Kenny, the kids are sick." You ever got that message before? "Kenny, the kids are sick and one of them puked on the couch." Have you ever got that message before? "Kenny, the kids are sick, they puked on the couch and you need to clean it." You ever got that message before? Those are all not so good messages that I've got. But all joking aside, I've also received messages that were not good, that are a little bit more serious than that. These are sometimes part of the calling of a pastor and the role that a pastor plays. You sometimes get messages that are not always the best messages. For example, "Kenny, I need you to pray for our family. We're going to get a divorce." Man, you just hate hearing that. That's a sad message. Or, "Kenny, pray for me. I've relapsed back into my addiction." And that's a sad message. Or, "Kenny, the cancer has returned." Man, I don't like those messages. "Kenny, we prayed for him to get better, and they passed last night. Man. You ever got those kind of messages before? Or those aren't fun messages. Those are actually discouraging messages and bad messages. And really, what I feel is even worse than those kind of messages, I get these as a pastor sometimes. And these, I think, are even worse than the other ones. Because with the other ones, if they know Christ, there's still hope. If someone's going through a divorce, there's still hope for them. If there is a loved one that has passed away, there is still hope for tomorrow. If there is a sickness, we know that God can do anything. And that ultimate healing is by meeting Jesus. So we know that. There's hope in that. But I think some of the saddest messages ever that I've ever gotten are messages like these. Kenny, it's great that Jesus works for you, but he's not for me. That's a sad message. Or a message that would say, Kenny, listen, I went to church. They let me down. They failed me. I'm done with Jesus. Kenny, I don't want to hear this anymore. I've heard about it. They've preached at me in the face, so I'm blue about this. And some of you all are here today. I know it's an Easter crowd because you have a drug problem. Somebody drug you here today. I know that. I get that. I get it. And here's the deal. We're glad you're here. I'm very glad you're here. Even if you were drug here, I'm really thankful you're here. I hope you've already discovered this is a pretty free place and it's not a place of condemnation. I hope you felt that already. But those are bad messages. Kenny, it's a fairy tale. This whole gospel, this whole Jesus is just a fairy tale. It's just a myth. It's not real. Those are sad messages. These are maybe the saddest messages that I ever hear because these are messages where people have chosen not to put their faith in Jesus. They've chosen not to trust that Christ died on the cross and rose again and that he's alive today. They've not decided to give their lives to Jesus. And really, I can't blame some of you all for thinking that. And here's why, because we've had such poor, pitiful examples of what the Christian life is supposed to look like from all kinds of people. We've had pastors that have fallen into scandalous deals. We've had money embezzlements. We've had people that have, in the name of Jesus, hung up offensive and degrading signs at funerals and junk like that. We've had hate mongers do evil things in the name of Jesus. We've had all of this stuff happen, and I get it. I get it. I get why you say this is a fairy tale. I get why you say it's great that it works for you. That's wonderful. If it makes you happy, if it brings you peace, if it makes you satisfied, fantastic, but it's not for me. I feel that a lot of the times the reason that we believe that is because actually we've received a bad message about Jesus. We've not been told the true message of Jesus. We've not been told the true meaning of Christ. And as a result, we hear all these dudes with megaphones on the side of the streets at the barbecue festival just yelling junk and stuff like that. And that's the message you hear about Jesus. And really, that's not the message. That's not the message. You turn on these late night TV commercials and there's some wacko evangelist guy, you know, promising you that you get rid of all your cancer if you just send $20 to his ministry and praise God, hallelujah, it's going to happen. I mean, I just want to punch those people in the face. I do. Because, I mean, I really do. Like, really. Like, really, I do. Because they give people that are followers of Jesus a bad rap. And they make us look bad. And they make the message of Jesus polluted for what it really is. See, even today, when you hear these messages, even today, some of you that's got the drug problem being drug here, this is your temptation of the day. Take index finger number one, insert in the ear. Take index finger number two, insert in the ear. You've heard it a million times. I don't want to hear Jesus anymore. I don't want to hear about Christ anymore and this man that died and rose again. I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm done with that. I'm sick and tired of that message. But yet at the same time, you leave and you still feel the same. You feel the guilt of your sins. You feel the failure of your shame. You feel death. You worry about death. You worry about the afterlife. What does happen when you die? Everybody bites the dust. It's going to happen to everybody. I mean, nobody here is exempt from that. It's going to happen. Have you ever been to a funeral before? It's coming. One day or another, it's coming. And those are real questions. You may be very confused about the message of Jesus because you've heard all this junk that's been that's been preached and all this garbage that's been preached, and you've not heard the true message of Jesus Christ, and it's getting to you and you're walking away. You come to a day like today where we're talking about Jesus, and you got real issues. You got marriage issues. You got life issues. You got guilt issues, shame issues, all this stuff. And you are just totally convinced that you're going to leave today feeling the exact same way that you did when you walked out, when you walked in. What I'm encouraging you today is to listen to the true message of Jesus. To just kind of for a moment forget about everything that you've seen from the bullhorn preachers and the TV late night evangelists and all this junk that you've seen and all this garbage that you've seen. Forget about that for just a second and let's turn to the most important message you'll ever hear, just the bare bones gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the resurrection of Jesus is so important. It is so important that we cannot walk out of here with mixed signals. We have to know at least what it says. We have to know at least what Christians really believe, what Christians really stand for, what they're really about. If you were to say today, Kenny, all right, let's just cut all the junk. Let's cut it all out and get to the bare bones. Let's get rid of rituals. Let's get rid of church attendance. Let's get rid of this and that, all this mess. Let's just cut it all out and cut to the center. Cut to it. Let's get to it. What is it? What is the core message of Jesus Christ? What is the core message? Well, I'm so glad you asked today because we're going to talk about it. But here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that the message of faith is the most important message I will ever hear. That's in your blanks. The message of faith is the most important message I will ever hear. Knowing that I have some of you all just for today, and you won't come back, that's statistically proven. That's true. I thought today there would be nothing better just to get to it, and say, this is what we believe as Christians. Is that all right today, church? Is that all right? Let's get to it. If this is the most important message that you will ever, ever, ever hear, I want to make sure that it's as clear as crystal today. So, Kenny, what is the message of faith? I want us to turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 10. We're going to look at the latter part of verse 8 and then 9, particularly, and then a little bit of 10. But it'll be on the screen, be in your sermon notes. It reads this. This is the message of faith that we proclaim. This is it. You want to know what it is? Here it is. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now there's a follow-up verse. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. So Kenny, what is the message? What are you about at Life Community Church? What is Jesus about? Three things from Romans 10, 9. Are you ready? The first is this. The message, it's a message that says, I can be saved when I confess Jesus is Lord. Look what it says. If you confess with your mouth, what? Say it with me, church. Jesus is Lord. That's a big, big deal. Because when you start making a statement like Jesus is Lord, you are confessing or agreeing, you're saying this is right. I believe this. This is what I believe. This is my understanding. I'm agreeing with this message that Jesus is Lord. What does it mean that he's Lord? Well, it says a lot. You are agreeing that everything in the Bible written about Jesus is truth. That it's not a fairy tale. It's not a myth. It's not allegory. It's not symbolic. There was a real man that walked on this earth 2,000 years ago who was God in flesh. The incarnation happened. God became man. He walked on this earth. He did miracles to validate who he was. He went to the cross. He died. He rose again. And he ascended into heaven. And now he is the Lord. So when you are confessing that Jesus is Lord, you're saying, he's God. This man is God. This man that lived 2,000 years ago is God. And he's alive. This is a big deal. And when you confess him as Lord, that word means master. That you're saying that this man who is God, you're confessing that, he's God, but yet I'm also putting my life underneath him. That he is God. I'm acknowledging that he's God. And I'm acknowledging that I am a follower of him. See, in our current day, especially with the current political landscape, you hear these words tossed around like evangelical and all this stuff. And I just want to say, what the heck is an evangelical? What about a born-again Christian? What about a born-again Christian? What is this junk? You know, what does that even mean? See, when we follow Jesus, this is Christ followers. People that are following Jesus. They are putting their faith into Jesus. Now, Jesus is a very, very polarizing person. You will either love Jesus or you will absolutely hate Jesus. There's no other way around it because his teachings were radical. His teachings were cutting edge. You will either love his style or hate his style. There's really no in between with Jesus. And really, when it comes to accepting Christ and knowing Christ, you either have to accept him as Lord or reject him as the Lord. Because if you take the statement, well, I'm okay with Jesus, but he was just a good man. He wasn't God. You have to play that out logically in your mind. If he really was a good man and not God, how good was he? Because he declared things like, I and the Father are one. He said, I am the Messiah at the woman at the well. He claimed to be God. So here's the deal. Can you be a good man and claim to be God? No. He'd be a liar. C.S. Lewis famously said that you have three options with Jesus, just three. He is either a lunatic, he's as crazy as can be, he was absolutely batty and nuts. Two, he's a liar, he's a false prophet, he is fooling people, he is tricking people. Or three, he is the Lord and he was who he says he was. It's all you can do with Jesus. He's either a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's the Lord. So you have to draw a line and say, this is how I feel about Jesus. You have to confess and say, you know, he's either the Lord or he's not the Lord of my life. The message that we proclaim is that if you confess him as Lord, you'll be saved. So to be a Christian, there is a confession that's made knowing that Jesus is the Lord, that he's God. So, Kenny, do you really go on record as a church that you believe literally that he died and rose again? Literally. Absolutely, I do. Because he is either the Lord or a liar or a lunatic. And I choose today to confess him as my Lord and Savior today. That he is the real deal. So you got to believe, you got to confess. But the second part is this. It's a message that says, I can be saved. When I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. Now here's the deal. You have to believe that Christ, with your heart is what the Bible says. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You have to believe that this happened. There has to be a faith. See, remember, no Jew would ever, ever, ever confess Jesus as Lord and not believe that he had rose from the dead because they would never do that. I mean, why would they confess in a false God? No Roman would ever confess Jesus as Lord if there wasn't solid proof to that because they were to worship the emperor. And if they had any other allegiance to anybody else besides the emperor, they could be killed. And many times they were. See, people just could not just casually say, I'm a Christian and get away with it and then not practice it. This is one of the greatest dangers of our culture today. We have what's called cultural Christianity because you were taken to church as a kid and you've been to church and that sort of thing. You naturally assume you're a Christian. If someone was to knock on your door and you're doing a census, you would say, well, I'm a Christian because I have been to this church or that church. But here's what I'm telling you is that being a Christian has nothing to do with your church attendance. Has nothing to do if you're on the roll. It has nothing to do if you are a Baptist, a Methodist, a Lutheran, or a Nazarene. It has nothing to do with any of that stuff. If anything, it confuses everything. Being a Christian is placing your faith, believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. This is saying with all your being, your heart, all your being, you believe Jesus was the sacrifice for our sins. He died, was buried, rose again and is alive to justify us or make us right before God. He's, you know, by the way, if he never rose, we can never be justified. We can never be made right with God. But because he's alive, he makes us right with God. Well, Kenny, how can you have faith that a dead man got up from the ground? You know, really, when you study the resurrection, there is so much evidence on the resurrection that if you don't believe he rose from the dead, you really have to answer some hard questions. Well, Kenny, like, what do you mean? Well, just think about it. For example, in that time period, the testimony of a woman was not very validified. If you were making it up, why would you write and create in the story that the women were the first person to see Jesus? If you were fabricating the story, you never would have done that. Second, how do a bunch of fishermen overpower Roman guards at the tomb? How do you do that? And maybe one of the two of the greatest things is that when the preaching of Jesus started and the movement started, as history records, all the Jews would have had to do was what? Produce a dead body. If they would have hung a dead body and paraded around the street, which was not uncommon for Romans to do, they would have done that, shut the whole thing down. So why didn't they do that? And they were obviously causing a scene because Peter and John were getting arrested and they were all just being thrown in jail left and right. Why not produce a body? All you have to do, look, here's your Messiah. He's dead, he's rotting. But maybe the greatest example that he's alive, and explain this to me. I understand why a follower that's a second, third, fourth, or fifth generation follower would die for a lie. They've been indoctrinated. They have been corrupted. They have been brainwashed. But why would the first generation that fabricated the story die for a lie? If you knew it was fake and you made it up, why would you, if you were Peter, allow yourself to be crucified upside down, never denying Jesus? Why were you, if you was Thomas, would have spears ran through you? Why would you, if you were Mark, be allow yourself to be drugged through the streets until you fell apart piece by piece? Why would you allow rocks to be thrown at your head and be killed? Why? If it wasn't real, why would the first generation die for a lie? Muhammad, you can go to his burial ground. Buddha is just bones now. But you can't find Jesus. You can't find him. And part of our resurrection story is that if we believe Jesus died and rose again, we can be saved. That if we believe he is God and he died for our sins and he rose again, then there is salvation for us. There is a faith for us. Now, by the way, confessing Jesus and believing Jesus are not two different things. They're just different sides of the coin. They go together. You confess Jesus as Lord because you believe he rose from the dead. And you believe Jesus rose from the dead, which leads to you what? Confessing him as Lord. These are not two different things. These are the same thing on the same, just two different sides of the coin. Because you have faith in Jesus, you confess him. And you confess him because you have faith in Jesus. Understand this. Also understand that it requires you to do something. It requires you to make a confession, and it requires you to activate your belief. It requires you to stretch out and to trust in Jesus. But I love the last part of Romans 10:9. See, the message of Christianity is that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, I love this last part, you will be saved. It's a message that says, I can be saved and be assured of salvation. I can accept Jesus, profess Jesus, believe Jesus, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I was to die today, I'm going to heaven. It's not because I'm a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Catholic or a Nazarene. No, it is because Jesus is in my life. And the promise is not that you might be saved. Confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart God raised from the dead, and maybe you'll be saved. Is that what it says? Maybe tomorrow you'll be saved. Hey, maybe if you get enough, like, bulletins collected at your house, sermon notes on your refrigerator, you'll be saved. No. It is a message of faith that says what? If you believe and confess, boom, bada bing, Jesus did the hard work, you're saved. That's it. Well, Kenny, that just doesn't seem right. It just seems way, 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 way too easy. You know why it's so easy? Because Jesus did the hard part. When he went to the cross, he's the one that had the work. Listen, you don't have to say it's finished because Jesus said it's finished. He's the one that completed the work. It was Jesus. His great work was that he died on the cross for our sins. The wrath of God went to him freely. He took it and it was done. And he rose again that all that would believe in him would be saved. This is the message. And you know, tonight you don't have to lay down on your pillow and worry about the afterlife anymore. You don't have to be confused anymore. I can't tell you how many times I've met people that have said, Kenny, I just don't have any peace. I don't know if I was to die today. I don't know where I'm going to go. And I would say, well, have you ever prayed to receive Christ? And they'll give me stuff. Well, I was confirmed as a child, or I was baptized because I went down forward at a vacation Bible school and nobody explained it to me. And grandma yanked me up and started crying and I was afraid to say anything. And then next thing you know, preachers got me under the water and I don't know what I believe. Well, Kenny, I drank all the Kool-Aid and ate all the cookies at vacation Bible school. I went on mission trips. Does that earn my salvation? No, sir. No, ma'am. It is a belief in Christ, putting your faith in Jesus. Maybe the greatest example is this, is that I love this example for me. See, I believe intellectually that I can go down to Nashville tonight and look through the glass and see an airplane that is bound to New York City. And I believe with my mind intellectually that all the working cogs and gears and the propellers and the jets and all that will take me there. I believe that. I believe science dictates that that airplane will work. But it does me no good until I put my faith into that airplane by what? Actually boarding the airplane and allowing the airplane to take me to New York City. You know, many people miss heaven and wind up in hell by that much. They had it right here, but they missed it right here. They had it right here, but they missed it right here. They did not accept the fact that Jesus was the all-sufficient sacrifice, and they did not confess and believe. And if you notice the last part of verse 10, it kind of adds to it a little bit. It says, one believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness. You give your life to Jesus, he makes you right with God. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That when you lay down at night, if you know Jesus, you're right with God? You're right with God because of what Jesus did? And if you confess with your mouth, it results in salvation. You're saved, period. This is good news today. It's a message that brings assurance to me. Now, I get a lot of messages throughout the week. Voicemails, text messages, emails. I feel like sometimes I'm bombarded with like tech stuff in my face. It feels like it just never stops. It's just attacking me. But I will tell you one thing I'm very thankful for with my techie type stuff is that I have in my email account what I call a junk folder. Does anybody have a junk folder? Aren't you grateful for the junk folder? Aren't you grateful for the junk folder? I mean, there's only so many things you can buy, you know? There's only so many get-rich schemes that you can buy into, right? That junk folder does a work for me. It takes the bad messages that I don't have time for, that I don't want to filter through my email, and automatically puts it in there. Now, if I want to go back and look at the junk mail, and every now and then a good message will filter into the junk mail, but not really. Most of the time, the junk mail does a good job of getting it. But yet, the regular inbox, it's the messages I open up and read. Now, even when it's in my inbox, I may read it and intend to reply to it later and forget about it. Anybody ever done that? You meant to reply, but you were in the hurry and you didn't do it? Yeah, do that all the time. But there are some messages that are so important that wind up in my inbox that deserve me to answer it right then. See, with this message I just gave you, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, is so important. But you have a choice today. Some of you all will either file that in your junk message box and say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to act on it. I don't want to hear it. Or it'll go to your inbox and you will open it And you know it's real. But you'll say, I'm not ready to reply today. But yet we never know if there's a tomorrow. What I would hope today for all of us is that this message you just heard will go to your inbox. You will open it and you will reply to it today. Well, Kenny, how do I receive Jesus? Believe and confess. I told you it's not hard. You know, sometimes we do that in the form of a prayer and we open up our hearts. Take your sermon. Let's everybody hold this. I want to tell you real quick that it's not magic words that save you. You with me on that? It's not like I'm hocus pocus, boom, you're going to heaven, okay? That's not the way it works. Kenny had to be saved like anybody else. But today, if you're here, and if you cannot honestly say that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven, you have a problem in your spirit. And it's time to open up your inbox and reply to the message of Jesus. Believe and confess. Well, Kenny, I don't want to die and spend an eternity in hell. I want life and purpose and peace and a beginning. I want to submit to the lordship of Jesus. See, you can just repeat these and it doesn't matter. It's just words on a paper. But if you open your heart up to Christ and believe and trust in Christ in a saving relationship, he'll save you. That's the promise. He'll save you. And I want to give you an opportunity today that if you've never given your life to Jesus, to do that. I'm going to ask just my wife to come and play on the piano, just her first, because I want this to be a serious time. And I'm going to ask ushers or anybody like that, greeters, stay put. Everybody just calm down right now. Offering will wait, all right? I want everybody as calm as we can be, not to get up, not to move right now, because this is a very important time. I want us to be ready to receive Christ as Lord and Savior for the first time. I was 7 years old when Jesus came into my life. I remember like it was yesterday, man. I was sitting in my living room, talked about Jesus. This is a long story. Talked about Jesus that day. Had a religious experience that night, but it wasn't a Jesus experience. But it was that evening that I felt Jesus knocking on my heart. See, some of you all are feeling that right now. You're feeling like a tug. We call that the Holy Spirit of God. And he's wanting access into your heart. But Jesus is a gentleman. He will not thug his way in or push his way in. You have to respond. So I'm going to ask in the quietness of this moment that if everyone, and by the way, let me preface this. Life community people know this, but if you're a guest, I don't embarrass people. I don't call people out. I don't embarrass them because that's not effective. I want people to be genuine in their response to Christ. Is that all right today? I would ask everybody today just to bow their head and close their eyes. And it's a prayer that kind of goes like this. It's, again, it's not magic words, but you're admitting you're a sinner, you're believing Jesus died and rose again, and you're choosing to follow him. It's that simple. You want to be a Christ follower today. Man, I hope you open your heart up. If you're feeling that today, and say, Kenny, I'm a sinner. I know that. I believe Christ died, but it's time for me to confess him and to open up my heart to him. I want you to pray this silently to yourself. It doesn't have to be out loud. And you know what? If you've received Christ, you don't have to pray this again. You're saved. You're already saved because you believed and chosen Jesus. But yet, if you don't know Christ, this is your time to open up your heart. If you're ready today with heads bowed and eyes closed, it's a prayer that goes like this. Pray it with me in your heart. Dear God, I admit that I am a sinner. I have gone my own way instead of your way. I believe that Jesus is God in flesh. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised back to life. I turn from my sin and I ask you to save me. Thank you for forgiving me. I am forgiven in the name of Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes still closed, again, we're not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to call out or even say a word, but it's important that you acknowledge that you accepted Christ today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and Christians, I'm going to ask you humbly not to look, all right? Why don't you just pray for somebody next to you instead of trying to look around? With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you prayed that for the very first time today, to ask Christ into your heart and your soul for real, would you just let me know and say, Kenny, I did that. Just slip your hand up real quick. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. If you did that today, here in a moment, we're going to have a time of response. Because it tells us to confess them, right? Boy, that's scary, Kenny. But listen, man, he went to the cross for you. I'm not going to make you come, but I want to encourage you to come and confess to the church that Jesus is the Lord of your life today and that you made that decision for the very first time. And maybe you came with a loved one that's a member of this church. Why don't you just grab them by the arm and say, you got to go with me, and they will. They will. But I want to pray, and we're going to sing and reply and respond back to Christ. If the rest of the praise team want to come, they can. But Father, we love you, and we thank you for Jesus. God, how I pray for the people that raised their hands today, that they would respond to Christ. They, Lord, would confess, Lord, that you are their Lord and Savior. Jesus, we thank you for dying and rising again this Easter morning. We thank you. Father, move in hearts today. Give them the courage to come. We pray in your name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. This is your response time today.